Everyone knows, either by personal experience or through family, friends, or their news service, that these are indeed times of declining health. Statistics, as you know, are quite staggering. But when approached with a little research and commitment, the implications of and indications of simple, common sense changes are just as staggering to regain health and live a more vital life. And Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride has done our homework for us. As she explains in her book, Gut and Psychology Syndrome, Natural Treatment for Autism, ADD, ADHD, Depression, Dyslexia, Dyspraxia, Schizophrenia, and yes, they are all related, declining health can take a U-turn onto the road of recovery. Let's all give a great listen today, because I imagine we all know at least 10 people who could benefit from what we'll learn today. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. My understanding is that you had your medical degree before you began your inquiry into the gut and psychology, which is part of the title of your book. Can you give us a brief introduction to yourself before we get started into these expertises that you practice today?
Okay. I'm a medical doctor. I was trained in Russia as a medical doctor. And there, I gained my first postgraduate degree as a neurologist, and I worked as a neurologist and a neurosurgeon in Russia. Then I moved to Britain, where I gained a second postgraduate degree in human nutrition. And the reason I got that degree was because my first child was diagnosed with autism at the age of 3. And having discovered that my own profession had nothing to offer my child, that threw me into a very steep learning curve. I started looking everywhere for solutions to this problem. And as part of that learning curve, I went back to university and completed my second postgraduate degree in human nutrition. And I found a solution to my son's problem. He's fully recovered. He's leading a normal life. He's 19 years old now. And that's where my clinic began, because I was in touch with many other parents, other families who had autistic children in this country, and they all wanted to know what I was doing, and they all needed help.
What were the first signs for you as a parent regarding the health of your son?
Well, the first signs were digestive problems. And these are the first signs for many, many parents of autistic children. And I knew that from my medical training, I knew that the digestive system was holding the reasons for autism, without doubt. I had no doubt about it. And that's why I focused on treating the digestive system in my child. And as his digestive system healed, the autism just melted away. It disappeared. All we had to do is to help him to learn at a faster rate so he could catch up with other three-year-olds who are not standing still, because normal children develop at a very fast rate. So for an autistic child who has missed a year or two or three or more of development, in order to catch up with peers of the same age, they have to run. They have to learn at a double speed. And that's what we had to do. We implemented a home-based applied behavior analysis program. We had fantastic consultants. And we worked very, very hard on helping him to catch up on his learning. Once he's done that, he went into mainstream school, and everything else was history. We forgot about autism fairly quickly.
It's so encouraging, as this certainly is an epidemic these days. Is the epidemic worldwide as you see it? Are there pockets that don't seem to have autism happening in their country or their part of the world, or is it really a worldwide phenomenon at this point?
It is a worldwide phenomenon. Without doubt. 20 years ago, we were diagnosing one child in 10,000 with autism. 10 years ago, we were diagnosing one child in 150, which was a 40-fold increase in statistics, in incidence of autism. That is in the Western world. Today, in Britain and in America, we're diagnosing one child in 100, around there somewhere. And in some counties in Britain, the rates are as high as one child in 60, 65 being born now. So the epidemic is growing. And countries which were behind English-speaking world, it's the English-speaking world that led, without doubt. But countries which were behind the English-speaking world are now catching up. So the rates are getting close to 150 in one child in 150. And it all depends on how much the processed foods are available in the country, how much antibiotics are available, how much vaccinations are available. And I'm afraid there aren't that many pockets left around the world where these things are not available. And this is the damaging influences, the modern lifestyles that we have developed for ourselves.
Yes, you just mentioned the processed foods and vaccinations. And I've just learned recently how devastating the effects can be from contraceptives regarding all of this as well.
Absolutely. Gut and psychology syndrome and gut and physiology syndrome both abbreviate to the same thing, GAPS. And this is the core of my work, GAPS. I have an informational website called GAPS.me, GAPS.me, ME is like myself, ME, and where I describe these conditions in great detail. The root of the problem is in the digestive system. These children and adults do not develop normal gut flora. Instead, their gut is populated by a mixture of pathogens, thousands and thousands of downright disease-causing bacteria, viruses, fungi, protozoa, worms, and other pathogens. They digest the food that comes along in their own way, converting it into hundreds and hundreds of very toxic, very poisonous substances. At the same time, they damage the integrity of the gut wall, making it porous and leaky, so these toxins flood through the gut wall, into the bloodstream, and get distributed around the body. Vast majority of GAPS children, and I'm talking about autistic children and hyperactive and dyslexic and dyspraxic, children with epilepsy, because that's a GAPS condition, and obsessive-compulsive disorder and many other so-called mental problems. Vast majority of these children, 99.9%, are born perfectly healthy. They've got perfectly normal brains when they're born. But what happens in these children, in the first couple of years of their life, quite often it happens on the brink between the first and the second year of life, because that's when the breastfeeding stops. What happens, they develop abnormal gut flora. That pathogenic flora damages the integrity of their gut wall. All these toxins flood into the body of the child and get into the brain. So they clog the brain with toxicity. As a result, the brain is unable to function properly. So as a result, the child's ability to learn, to perceive the world, to copy behaviors around, to develop normal social skills, to develop normal speech, normal toy play, all the instinctive things that children develop at that age, this brain is unable to develop because it's clogged with toxicity. So in order to remedy autism, in order to deal with hyperactivity and all other learning disabilities and epilepsy in children and adults, we need to focus on the health of the digestive system of the person. We need to heal and seal the gut. We need to remove the pathogenic flora, and we need to replace it with beneficial flora in these patients. And as the river of toxicity stops flowing from the gut to the brain fairly quickly cleans itself up and starts functioning appropriately. And depending on how much time the child has missed in its development, we need to provide special help for the child, educational help, in the form of home-based program, intensive home-based program, to allow the child to catch up. And I do believe that the best program is applied behavior analysis, or LOVAS program, also it's called. But coming back to the contraceptive pill, this was the introduction to this point. Children, as far as we know, while they're in the mother's womb before birth, are sterile, and their digestive tracts are sterile. There are no bacteria in there at all. So when does the child acquire its gut flora? At the time of birth, when the baby goes through the birth canal. So whatever lives in mom's vagina, and that is her birth canal, becomes the gut flora of the baby. A woman's vagina is a very heavily populated area of her body. It has a very rich bacterial flora, and that flora largely comes from her bowel. So if a woman has got abnormal gut flora, That's what she will have in her vagina as well. She'll have abnormal flora in her birth canal, and that is what the baby will acquire. Before talking about the health of a child in my clinic, I always first talk about the health of the parents and often grandparents as well. And what I've discovered as a result of this process, going through thousands and thousands of cases, that pretty much 100% of mothers of children with learning disabilities, particularly autistic children, have abnormal gut flora themselves. And that's what they have passed to their children at birth. So these babies have acquired abnormal gut flora right from the start. Why do the mothers in our modern world have abnormal gut flora? And I have to say that with every generation of young ladies who are having children, the damage is deeper and deeper. Why is that? Because when we look at a generation of our mothers, of grandmothers now, who had their children in the 50s and 60s, that was the time when antibiotics just came in, and they were prescribed quite often. They started to become a number one prescription medication. So the grandmothers usually have symptoms of mild gut dysbiosis. Their gut flora was fairly good, fairly okay, but it got damaged slightly by a few courses of antibiotics. And then that was the time when the breastfeeding went out of fashion, because the first baby formula started coming on the market and breastfeeding was pronounced unnecessary anymore, so many women did not breastfeed. So these mothers, these grandmothers didn't breastfeed their daughters. So these girls have acquired partially damaged, slightly damaged gut flora from their mothers. Then they were not breastfed, and now we know that bottle-fed babies develop completely different gut flora compared to the breastfed babies, and that abnormal flora in a bottle-fed baby predisposes her to allergies first and foremost, asthma, eczema, hay fever, ear infections and other infections, and then more serious problems later on in life.
And the celiac disease is certainly in that grouping as well, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And then these girls grew going through their childhood, taking many courses of antibiotics, because that's the era when they were prescribed like sweets for every cough and sneeze, and every course of broad-spectrum antibiotics wipes out beneficial bacteria in the gut, leaving all the pathogens uncontrolled, because even in a healthy digestive system of a healthy human being, the beneficial bacteria have to predominate, but there are thousands and thousands of pathogens living alongside the good ones. But if the good ones predominate, they control them. They don't allow them to do any harm. But every course of broad-spectrum antibiotics wipes out the beneficial microbes in the gut. They do recover, but it takes them between 2 weeks to 2 months' time to recover. And that's a window of opportunity for the pathogens to spread and to occupy new niches and to establish themselves. So the recovering beneficial flora has a fight on its hands, yes, to reestablish itself. So from every course of antibiotic to the next course of antibiotic and to the next course of antibiotic, the gut flora becomes more and more damaged. And then these generations of young ladies were put on a contraceptive pill at quite a young age. Nowadays, they put on the pill around 14, 15 years of age. So these ladies take the contraceptive pill for quite a few years before they're ready to start their family. And contraceptive pill has a devastating effect on the gut flora. So generations of young ladies now who are having children now and who have been having children in the last 20 or so years have seriously damaged gut flora due to all these influences. And the damage is getting deeper and deeper in every generation. That is why the epidemic is growing. That is why 10 years ago we were diagnosing one child in 150. Now we're diagnosing one child in 60, 65, in some areas in 100. And the numbers are getting worse and worse. So we need to keep that in mind. And the proportion of young ladies in our modern world who are possessing damaged gut flora and who are passing it to their newborn babies at time of birth is growing all the time. Nobody's counting, nobody's doing research into what numbers, what proportions, what percentages of young ladies have this problem. From where I stand, it's quite high.
Is there a way?
It's higher all the time.
Is there a way to test that out? Can you do some kind of a test to see what the balance of flora is in someone's gut?
Absolutely. Abnormal gut flora, first and foremost, will bring many symptoms to the person, to the lady. First, holding a mass of abnormal microbes, the digestive system cannot be healthy. So these ladies usually have digestive symptoms. They have irritable bowel syndrome, their stools are irregular, or there's some pains or cramps and bloating and reflux and indigestion and heartburn. You can take all those symptoms as a clear symptom, as a clear alarm bell for you that your gut flora is abnormal. So if you're planning to have a child, you're going to pass abnormal flora to your baby. The next thing that happens, about 85% of our immunity is located in the gut wall. So our digestive system is a major and the biggest immune organ in our bodies. And when the gut flora is abnormal, the immune system cannot function normally either. It gets out of balance. And the first thing that happens, two major arms of the immunity, TH1 and TH2, get out of balance. As a result of that, the person starts developing allergies. Allergies to food, allergies to animals, to pollen, hay fever, to various chemicals, to makeup, to shampoos, to all sorts of things in the environment. If you have allergies, that is a clear signal to you that you have abnormal gut flora. So if you're planning to have a baby, you're going to pass abnormal flora to your baby. Our gut flora is the constitution that we give to our babies. So a baby who starts her life with abnormal gut flora starts it with a very poor constitution, very weak constitution. And babies are born also with an immature immune system. So establishment of normal flora in the first few days of life in the baby's digestive system plays a crucial role in appropriate maturation of their immune system. So babies who acquire abnormal flora from the mom right from the start are left immune compromised. So they are vulnerable to infections going around, to any viruses going around. So they have one ear infection after another, one chest infection after another. And then they're unable to handle vaccinations appropriately. These children are immune compromised. They are not fit to be vaccinated with the standard vaccination protocol. Our standard vaccination protocol just damages them. I have a whole chapter on vaccinations in my book where I propose what should be done about vaccinations and how we should go about it. We have to change our standard vaccination protocol because the proportion of gaps children are being born today is growing and growing all the time, and these are very vulnerable children. But coming back to the mother, so she can first of all look, is my digestive system working well? Is it healthy? Do I have any allergies? The next step is if the digestive system is damaged, if the gut wall is damaged, then the person stops digesting the food properly before it's absorbed. The food doesn't have a chance to be broken down properly. It absorbs partially digested. And then, of course, the immune system finds these partially digested foods in the bloodstream and attacks them. And the person starts developing food allergies and intolerances. And these food allergies and intolerances are not true allergies from the point of view of mainstream medicine. They do not characterize themselves with IgE, that's a particular immunoglobulin. So they do not manifest immediately, these allergies. They can manifest today, they can manifest tomorrow, they can manifest in a few days or even in a few weeks. And what happens with the person, as long as the gut stays damaged and leaky and porous, like a sieve, letting through all these partially digested foods, you start reacting to everything you eat, everything. Well, there are many laboratories set up now who test for food allergies, and people go this route. They start removing various foods from their diet. And I have seen many patients who have finished up with virtually nothing left to eat in their diet, and yet they're still sick and they're no better. They still have symptoms because you need to focus not on food. It's not the food's fault. It's the fault of your gut lining.
Yes.
You need to focus on healing and sealing your gut lining, and then your food allergies will disappear. And, of course, these food allergies can bring up any symptom under the sun you can think of. It can be migraine. It can be painful joints. It can be eczema. It can be other strange itchy rashes on your skin. It can be chronic cystitis. It can be nephropathy. It can be menstrual problems, premenstrual tension. All sorts of problems can be brought up by these partially digested foods which float around in your bloodstream.
Did you ever come across the basic reason why your first son was born this way? Do you feel like there was something in your own history that created the problem?
I'm a typical GAPS mother. I was exposed to a lot of antibiotics at work and throughout my childhood. That was a typical situation.
In 2004, I believe that's when your book, The Gut and Psychology Syndrome, came out. Is that correct?
That's right.
How was this received within the medical community? I'm assuming that you still had some ties to the Russian medical community, and here you were in London, and then from London, it's a quick jump across the pond, as they say.
At large, the mainstream medical community is unaware of my work. They still believe that there is nothing you can do about these learning disabilities. You can only control symptoms and look after the child. I have many doctors in my clinic who bring their children to me. These people are converted. These people they have no choice but to be converted. But the mainstream medicine is locked in its own paradigm and its own ideas, and I don't think they are aware that anything can be done in this area.
That is unbelievable that that's still going on.
It is still going on, yes. Yes, it is. That's very unfortunate. The change always comes from the grassroots.
Yes.
In fact, the history of medicine shows that it takes on average 50 years for the old ideas to be discarded and for the new ideas to be accepted.
Well, it's quite a funny circle, isn't it? Because if you look historically through all of the cultures in the United States, everyone had, and this is just scratching the surface, I understand, but every culture has a fermented food in their diet.
And, absolutely.
And fermented foods are something that can help the situation with the gut.
Mm-hmm. Well, the GAPS nutritional protocol, which I described in great detail in my book and on the website that I mentioned, gaps.me, this is the nutritional program for healing and sealing your gut, driving out pathogens from your digestive system and reestablishing normal gut flora. And as your gut heals, the gaps disappear. The gut in psychology and gut in physiology syndrome disappears in the body. All sorts of symptoms that you would have never connected with your digestive system just melt away. They just disappear, including autism and other learning disabilities. And an important part of that program is introducing beneficial bacteria, probiotic bacteria, into your digestive system. We have to introduce them in order to drive out pathogens and replace them with the beneficial flora. And that can be done in two forms. One is fermented foods. That is the most natural way to do it. And the second form is taking commercial probiotics. And the probiotics that I recommend are therapeutic strength probiotics. These are high-quality probiotics which are composed of particularly aggressive species of beneficial bacteria. So we kill the pathogens and remove them and drive them out.
And I'm sorry, what was the name of that you mentioned?
Therapeutic strength probiotics. There are quite a few brands on the market. I don't like mentioning brands because they change. The market changes all the time.
Yes.
Companies change names and change formulas and get out of business. All sorts of things happen. But if you work with a practitioner, they will direct you. But let's talk more about the fermented foods because that's what you asked about. Fermented foods is something that is not optional because for millennia, humankind did not have refrigeration. We did not have fridges and freezers. So how did we preserve our food? Because when your cabbages were ripe in September, if you didn't do something with them, they will just rot away, and for the rest of the year, you'll be left without a cabbage. Or if you killed a deer, you couldn't eat all of that meat at once, and a few days, and it would rot away, so you had to do something with it. So what did people do? How did they preserve their food? They fermented it. Every culture around the world fermented their food. You can ferment everything, any food under the sun. You can ferment meats and fish and vegetables and fruit and grains and beans and dairy. All sorts of foods can be fermented. And that was one of the best ways of preserving the food because the fermented food keeps for months and months, sometimes for years, perfectly well without spoiling at a normal temperature. And, of course, fermented foods are teeming with beneficial lactobacilli because that's what ferments the food for you, the beneficial bacteria, probiotic bacteria, from the group of lactobacilli and yeasts, beneficial yeasts. So people with every mouthful of fermented foods, they've consumed large amounts of probiotic microbes. So they kept boosting their gut flora and kept feeding it and kept keeping it up to date. In the last few decades, as our food industry has blossomed, it changed all our cooking practices and generally has driven women out of the kitchen. So women forgot about all the traditional recipes, and we are not eating fermented foods anymore. So we, in effect, are depriving ourselves of a very important part of our human physiology, which we have adapted to for millennia, possibly longer.
Yes. What would you say is a basic first step for people? Obviously, they can start. We can all start eating some fermented foods. Let's talk about what needs to go out of the diet. I know oils are just horrific. Mm-hmm. With the large usage of the omega-6 vegetable oils, for instance, they can create quite a havoc in the body, can't they?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing that has to go are all processed foods. Mother Nature took billions of years to design human body. And at the same time, in parallel, it was designing all the foods appropriate for our human body to sustain itself. So we are supposed to be eating natural foods which were created by Mother Nature, not the foods that were created in the laboratories by our scientists tinkering, usually motivated by greed, by greedy companies. So processed foods are not appropriate for human physiology. They do not feed us. They do not detoxify us. They do not do any good in the body. They only pollute us, make us toxic, and make us ill. In fact, they are the cornerstone of all degenerative disease in our modern world.
We'll continue with Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride next week. She is the author of Gut and Psychology Syndrome. For any guest information, to listen to archives and share resources, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.